So, how did you get on with that visual DNA Who Am I quiz? It's quite interesting, isn't it? It's quite cool as well. Well, I thought it was quite cool. That's possibly just me being subjective. Listen, what we're really pointing towards and working towards now is us beginning to get clear on one level, our own core identities in view of being able to coach other people towards fully recognizing, understanding, and accepting their own too. So in this video, I'd like to introduce you to the core identity coaching model. And this is a very basic framework that you can use to help elicit and extract all of the ideas and the opinions and the beliefs that someone has inside of their mind about who they are and start structuring them in a rational way so that we can help other people to make sense of themselves. All right. Now, I could go really complicated on you here, but I don't need to. I came up with this model a few years ago. That's right. You might find me in the psychological textbook someday for inventing the core identity model. But this isn't about me impressing you. It's just about me simply impressing upon you the importance of this. Because throughout the course, what I could be doing is I could be sharing with you all the textbook techniques and frameworks and models and psychological babble that you're going to get in most life coaching frameworks and textbooks and online courses. But to be honest with you, what would the point in that be? That would not be an expression of me being authentic or genuine. And on another level, that stuff's never worked for me. It never helped me to get any real depth of result in another person's life. Therefore, if I was just to pass on that useless information to you, well, you wouldn't be thanking me for it because you wouldn't be getting any real fantastic results with anyone else either. So the reason I say all that is because this model has enabled me to really help people to get to the root of their core identity beliefs in life. Because just because we believe something to be true in life doesn't mean that it is. And unfortunately for many people, people grow to develop inaccurate and incorrect beliefs about who they are. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard the story of the crow and the tarantula. Well, if not, please allow me to share this one with you. And there was one day, there was a crow sitting at the side of a lake, and this tarantula walked up to him and he said, "Excuse me, Mr. Crow, I'm trying to get across the other side of the lake to see my wife and kids. Any chance I could hop on your back and you could give me a lift over?" Well, you see, crows aren't too sure about tarantulas because tarantulas have a history of biting crows. So Mr. Crow was a bit taken back. He said, "Look, oh, Mr. Tarantula, just you stay where you're at. I'm not quite sure about you because we know that tarantulas generally bite crows. So I don't want to get bitten because you'll bite me, inject me with your poison, then I might die. And I don't want to die. Not today anyway." Well, Mr. Tarantula then responded to Mr. Crow and said, "Well, listen, okay, let's just talk about this rationally here. You know, if you were going to do me this good turn and fly me across to the other side of the lake, then I would be so grateful to you that I wouldn't possibly even dream about biting you and injecting you with my venom." And Mr. Crow started to come into agreement. He thought, well, that kind of makes sense. So he ended up lowering his wing and Mr. Tarantula climbed on his back and then they took off and started flying across the lake. Now, they were around about halfway across the lake when Mr. Crow just felt these two fangs plunge into the back of his neck and that was it. And Mr. Tarantula had just bitten him. He was injecting him with his poison or the venom and the venom was starting going through his body and Mr. Crow could now feel his body shutting down and he looked around and he said, "Oh, Mr. Tarantula, you've just bitten me. You said that you wouldn't. Why have you done this to me? Why have you done this to us?" And the tarantula said, "Ha ha, because I'm a tarantula, am n't I? And that's what tarantulas do. We bite crows." Oh. Now, that's a little metaphor, which you may or may not have found entertaining, but the purpose of me telling the story is to illustrate that many people in life will act and behave in accordance with who it is that they believe they fundamentally are at the core. All right. Say, for example, Here in Scotland, we have a bit of a problem in the criminal justice system, all right? And this is where the prisons are full. For quite a number of years now, in fact, for pretty much a decade, there's been press releases and government-based initiatives looking to tackle this problem of repeat offending. And this is where young guys go into prison at quite a young age for having committed some sort of offence, spend some time in prison, they get out, and then 3 to 6, 12 months later, they're back in, having re-offended, more often than not, having committed the exact same crime that got them into prison to begin with, in the first place. And what we're saying here is that, if you think about it, if a young man was to believe that who he was a criminal, or a thief, or a murderer, or a rapist, or something like that, how do you think he's then going to go on to behave? I'll speak for myself here, share my own story. At the age of 16, I joined the army, and joining as such a young boy, I was quite impressionable. I was quite easily influenced back then. And over the first couple of years within my military service, I learned what it was to be a soldier. Now, because I joined the military not knowing who I was, I ended up developing this identity belief that who I am is soldier. What I'm saying here is that for many years in my life, I allowed what I did for a living and how well I did for a living to define me at the core. And this is a problem, this is a trap that many people fall into in life. This is the trap that most of your clients will have fallen into at some point in the past. Most of them will still be in it if you learn how to ask the right questions and you know where to dig. And this is kind of what I'm hopefully helping you to do here. You see, for me, having grown to identify this core identity belief that who I am is a soldier, this was fine when I was in the army, because how I was I was actually a very good soldier. I began working my way up the chain of command. I'd received a few promotions, so I was constantly getting validated that who I was very good at doing what I'd done. I was very good at doing what I'd done, because how I was being a soldier was I was being a good soldier. Then my identity beliefs were okay. I felt relatively secure within myself. But the problem came the day that I left the army, the day that I handed back my identity card. Now, not that specific day, but actually for about 3 years that followed, my mood, my self-esteem plummeted. Why? Because I was no longer a soldier. You see, I guess I'd come to believe that being a soldier was a significant thing to do with one's life. And because I was a relatively good soldier, I saw myself as being significant. I defined myself by how well I'd done what I'd done. But now I wasn't doing what I used to do so well anymore at all. And as I worked in various jobs and building sites, in banks, I worked on the doors, all these sorts of things. But none of these really ticked my boxes, which meant that my self-esteem plummeted, because my intrinsic value, although that was always the same as I'll explain in a minute, it was my perceived intrinsic value plummeted, because I'd placed a lot of value on myself being a soldier. When I wasn't a soldier, I no longer had that perceived value, and this is what caused me the issues. Now, we could talk about this and look at it from a slightly different angle. Again, many people will define themselves by their beliefs. All right, I have worked with people in the past who are very political. All right, some people will define themselves, I am conservative, I am Labour, I am this is who I am. People define themselves by their political beliefs. Other people will define themselves by their religious beliefs. I am Christian, I am Catholic because of what I believe. And this is, I'm not making fun here. All religion's great, it genuinely is. But all religion just stems from the beliefs that people have. If you think about it, no one openly wants to acknowledge or admit or accept that what they believe is untrue. But this is the problem with beliefs, all right? Just because we believe something to be true, especially about ourselves, doesn't mean that it is. And what I'm saying here is that If your clients come to you defining themselves by what they do or by what they believe, and this could be Christian, it could be Muslim, it could be soldier, it could be CEO, it could be criminal, it could be mother, it could be a father, it could be dad, it could be son, it could be whatever job, title, role, rank, it could be by a political party, Labour. The problem with defining ourselves by what we do in life, what we choose to commit our time to, is if these things get taken away, if any of these things get ruptured, for example, our beliefs can change. This is fundamentally the process of growing up and maturing in life. The process of growing up is growing up and out of the limiting beliefs that we developed about ourselves as children. And this is one of the main roles that you stand to potentially play as a life coach, by helping people to understand that they are not what they do. Who they are is very different, because when we establish the truth about who we are, we become free then to go on to do whatever it is that we want to do. Say for example, you're watching this video right now, all right? And you might be defining me, you might be judging me. You know, I am a teacher, I am a communicator. Well, that's not who I am, those are just things that I do. I am a teacher, sometimes I teach, but that's not who I am at the core. That's just what I do. Check out the reviews on the course. Some people will have given me 5-star reviews and they'll say, this is a fantastic life coaching course. Kane, you're awesome, you're great. Thanks very much for sharing all your insights in such a fascinating way. Whereas other people will say, nah, we don't like you. We don't like how you're teaching this subject and how you're communicating. So how is always going to be subjective, because how's my choice? What I do is ultimately my choice, but how I choose to conduct myself will either be genuine and authentic or it won't be. All right. You see, how is generally going to be good or bad? All right. Right or wrong? And this is one of the areas in which we'll have most of our conflicts in life, or the people that come to you for coaching will have most of their conflicts in life. They will be questioning as to whether they're a good enough dad, a good enough mum, a good enough Muslim, a good enough Christian, a good enough Labour politician. You see where I'm going with this? Whereas other people, for example, will see themselves, I'm a criminal, I'm a bad person. I always get things wrong because I always get things wrong because I'm fundamentally bad. People are just looking at how it is that they choose to conduct themselves, then defining their identity beliefs upon how it is that they choose to conduct themselves. And this is what keeps criminals repeat offending. You see where we're going with this? So I'm going to explain all of this in a bit more detail in a later video, as I share with you the good enough principle. But here, all I can really do is share with you how it is that I define myself. Because if I show you how it is that I define myself, then you're going to hopefully be able to understand how to use this model to better define and more accurately define yourself. Because only once you are accurately defining yourself and then acting in accordance, are you then going to be able to influence other people towards taking full responsibility and accepting the truth of who it is that they are? All right. Now this might sound complex, might sound complicated, but I promise you it's really not. All right. What I am doing my best to do throughout this course, what I'm doing my best to do, what I do, is be as honest as I physically can be. So what I'm doing my best to do is be as honest as what I physically can be. Which means that what I say and how I say what I say will determine whether you go on to see and understand what it is that I'm doing my best to explain to you. So I'm being as honest as I can. But look at this. Honest, being honest isn't something that we do. We can only be honest. We can't do honest. We can do Christianity. We can do criminalism. We can do being a parent. We can do being a Muslim. We can do being a CEO. We can do being a son, a labor, a soldier, a dad. Those are all things that we physically do. But whether we do these things stemming from who it is that we actually are is going to be the difference between whether we are living out of a place of authenticity or whether we're not. And if we're not living from this place of authenticity, then we're living a lie. All right, living a lie. Growing up in life is about us committing to going on this journey of self-discovery. And if you've ever heard that term before, the journey of self-discovery, well, this is the model that we use to take people on this exact journey. Self-discovery, where we're uncovering and unpacking the truth of who we are and the truth of who we're not.